Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 9th, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Klaus Jorgensen about his group's innovative approach for identifying signaling events that are important for the transendothelial migration of cancer cells. Cancer cells can metastasize or spread to new sites by hitching a ride in the circulatory system. Metastasizing tumor cells migrate from the primary tumor to a blood vessel, get into the blood vessel, and then later exit the vessel at a new site. This process requires that the cancer cells penetrate the layer of endothelial cells that line the blood vessels two times, once as they enter the vessel and again as they leave. The process of exiting the blood vessel is called extravasation, and it requires that the cancer cells interact very closely with the endothelial cells. The cancer cell must first adhere to the endothelial sheet, and then it has to squeeze between the cells of the sheet in order to exit the vessel. A group led by Klaus Jorgensen has used an innovative approach for identifying factors that are required for this transendothelial migration. Jorgensen spoke to me from the Cancer Research UK Institute at the University of Manchester. Hello, Dr. Jorgensen. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello. Good to hear from you.
What sorts of interactions have to occur between cancer cells and endothelial cells in order for the cancer cells to exit a blood vessel?
So cancer cells actually exhibit several types of interaction with endothelial cells during the exit from the vascular system. So this includes both direct interactions between the two cells, but it also includes exchange of secreted soluble signals. In vivo imaging studies have already revealed that cancer cells in the circulation establish initial contacts and adhere to the endothelial cells, and then they migrate along the endothelium before they migrate across the endothelium. So this is called transendothelial migration, and that's been shown to involve extensive remodeling of the cancer cells at the skeleton, such as formation of extrusions from the cancer cells that cross the endothelium, and then that's followed by actual migration of the cancer cells across the endothelial barrier.
Those sorts of interactions would occur not just in blood vessels, but also in lymphatic vessels as well, right?
So that's a very good question. So most studies have actually been done in blood vessels in terms of actually looking at in vivo imaging. The assumption would be that it happens in lymphatic vessels as well, but that's not entirely clear.
Can you tell us a little bit about the experimental model that you use to recreate extravasation in vitro?
We've actually developed a cell-based in vitro model to study the interaction between the cancer cells, which in this case is actually a population of breast cancer cells that's very efficient in metastasizing to the lung, and their interaction with endothelial cells. So using these very metastatic tumor cells, we could see that there was an efficient adhesion and migration across the endothelial monolayer, and this was way more pronounced than your less metastatic parental populations from which these more metastatic cells were derived. So when we were reading through the literature, so we noticed that most of the understanding of the tumor cell extravasation was actually based on detailed analysis of individual molecules and receptors in isolation. So these studies, they were all very elegant, but they hadn't really provided a lot of information on the signaling pathways that underpins the transendothelial migration. So we thought to take an approach that would allow us to identify contact-initiated signaling events between the cancer cells and the endothelial cells. And in particular, we aim to identify signaling pathways that were regulated in both cell types when they were interacting, and then to identify which of those that were important for the transendothelial migration.
How did you use your system to identify factors that mediate those interactions between the cancer cells and the endothelial cells?
Essentially, we started out by growing the endothelial cells as a monolayer, and then we would directly co-culture the cancer cells on the endothelial monolayer. We would then extract the proteins, and then using a specialized instrument called a mass spectrometer, we could analyze which signaling pathways were regulated. The challenge, though, in conducting direct co-cultures is that after you extract the proteins, it's not entirely possible to say whether a protein or molecule originate from one or the other cell type. So the trick, if you will, is to label the individual cell types in such a manner that you can assign identified proteins to either the tumor cells or the endothelial cells. Because otherwise, you wouldn't really know if a regulated pathway or regulated receptor was specifically regulated in either the cancer cells or the endothelial cells, or perhaps in both. So this approach also allows assignment of regulated pathways across both cell types. And so as such, we can map out what's regulated in both the cancer cell and the endothelial cells. And in this particular study, we focused on proteins that were regulated by phosphorylation, which is one of many ways whereby signaling pathways are controlled. And further studies will have to reveal if other mechanisms are involved in regulating this process as well.
So in theory, you could also apply this process to looking at ubiquitination or acylation or glycosylation, other modifications of proteins that happen when those two cell types interact.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So what signaling pathways did you identify as important for transendothelial migration?
So we observed that several cellular pathways were regulated. So these would include those already known to be involved in cell-cell interactions, cytoskeletal remodeling, and cellular migrations. Some of the proteins and pathways were similarly regulated in both the cancer cells and the endothelial cells, but most of the ones we identified were differently regulated. Importantly, some of these regulated proteins have already been shown to be involved in transendothelial cell migration or extravasation of immune cells. And so this gave us confidence that the experimental model that we were using would actually allow us to identify relevant proteins. So one of the proteins we identified that were regulated in the cancer cells is a member of this group of receptors called guidance receptors. And these receptors have been shown to be important for regulating cell-cell boundaries and important for regulating and maintaining tissue structure and also during embryonic development and axon guidance. And what was really fascinating about this observation was that the phosphorylation of the receptor was decreased, and that suggested that it might actually be deactivated. And so we investigated this in a bit more detail. We essentially found that the receptor dephosphorylation was an important step to increase the cancer cell adhesion to endothelial cells and to facilitate transendothelial migration. And that essentially led us to propose that some metastatic cells, such as the ones we were working with, have developed this method to kind of switch the receptor off and thereby increase the efficiency by which they escape the circulatory system.
Transendothelial migration involves discrete steps. So the cancer cells first have to adhere to the endothelial cells, they crawl along them, and then they have to go between the endothelial cells to escape the vessel. Were you able to separate signaling events that were required for those discrete processes?
So in this study, we didn't focus on those specific aspects, and instead we focused on the role of this particular guidance receptor, which was involved in regulating both the adhesion and the transendothelial cell migration. We did test some of the other regulated proteins and their effect on establishing the initial adhesion, but we haven't followed up with those yet to identify whether they also regulate transendothelial migration. That's clearly one of the next things that would be interesting to do. And, you know, to do those sort of experiments and assign differently regulated pathways to those discrete events, we would need to do further detailed function analysis, but we would also have to do a temporal analysis of the tumor endothelial signaling and interrogate the signals at various time points and then assign that to the individual processes.
Immune cells also undergo transendothelial migration as a part of normal physiology, right? Immune cells have to exit the vascular system. Were there any similarities in the pathways that you identified that are important for cancer cell transendothelial migration that were similar to or shared with things that we also know are involved in transendothelial migration of immune cells?
Right, that's a good question. So some of the pathways that we saw that were regulated in the cancer cells have already been shown to be involved in how immune cells extravasate. So some of the processes are conserved, if you will. But whether some of the other signals we identified are important for immune cell extravasation, we don't know. And I think it would most certainly be interesting to apply a similar type of approach to understand how immune cells signal and exchange signal on this sort of basis with endothelial cells.
It certainly sounds like this approach that you've developed could be extended to other contexts, to other pairs of cell types to study their interactions. What are some of the other contexts in which you think that this sort of technique might be really helpful?
I actually think these type of approaches are broadly applicable across many cellular processes. And one of the major efforts in my lab currently is to characterize cell signaling in the context of multiple cell types to understand how do these different cell types interact and exchange information. For example, if you think about a disease such as cancer, it's now widely appreciated that solid tumors, for example, consist of more than just the tumor cells themselves, but they also consist of infiltrating fibroblasts and immune cells and other cell types. And in addition to this, tumor cells, and this was part of what we were interested in this particular study, tumor cells interact with various cell types as they enter and exit the vascular system. But moreover, they also interact with other and different cell types in the organ where they eventually metastasize to. But if you think about it, heterotypic cell interactions occur frequently throughout both development and also normal tissue homeostasis. So for example, cells of the immune system interact directly to exchange information. And also in tissues, you've got specialized cells in the organs that sit within the same epithelial layer and communicate. And so I actually also think this approach may be usable to study interactions between infectious diseases and host cells. And using this, you might actually be able to get novel information. You know, in addition to understanding how various types of cells interact and study, you know, this as cell-specific resolution, I also think a major advance to this sort of approach is that, you know, ligands and receptors are presented, if you will, in a native context. And what I mean by that is that receptors rarely interact with their ligands in isolation, but typically between cells, they have multiple receptors that interact in simultaneous manner. And so what that means is that, you know, to fully understand the context of cell-cell interactions, it's important to understand the signals that are exchanged between the cells in this context of the other signals that might be exchanged between the cells. And so then essentially understand how both cell types elicit a response to change their behavior.
Klaus, thanks for speaking with us and talking about your work.
Thank you very much for calling today. It was a pleasure.
That was Klaus Jorgensen discussing a paper published in the February 9th issue of Science Signaling by Locard, Paulet, and colleagues. You can read that paper online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and thanks for listening.